Hello, I'm Trisha. I'm the developer advocate for IntelliJ IDEA/Java at JetBrains. This is kind of interesting talk for me because here I actually get to focus on IntelliJ IDEA and the features in IntelliJ IDEA, whereas normally I'm just like, I'm going to tell you about Java. Incidentally, I'm using IntelliJ IDEA. So this is kind of fun, especially as I haven't run through this talk before, so I don't know how long it's going to take. You have to get that 5 minutes left card ready. Right, so yes, this is basically a talk of why I love and hate my job at the same time. Because, I mean, I don't have all the stats to show you the same way Lars had about like how many features are fixed and how many things happen, but I can tell you that it's quite challenging staying up to date with what's happening in the IDE, in the Java, in Java, and sort of staying on top of all of that stuff to try and demonstrate it to people to say, oh, IntelliJ is great, you should use it. So let's just crack straight on. Just a quick reminder, because everyone always says, oh, but IntelliJ is like paid for. IntelliJ IDEA community, which is usually what I'm demonstrating when I'm talking at conferences anyway, is free and open source. And you can completely download it, use it in your workplace for free without paying anything. IntelliJ IDEA community is a Java IDE, and all the Java features you normally see in terms of refactoring and stuff is all inside the free IntelliJ IDEA community. Ultimate has things like enterprise application server stuff and is the polyglot IDE. So we're talking about the Java IDE here specifically. So yes, IntelliJ IDEA is a Java IDE, but also IntelliJ IDEA, well, there's the IntelliJ platform, which is what a bunch of the other IDEs are based off. We've got WebStorm for web functionality and stuff. I'm not talking about those, but all of those things tend to complicate my job because the platform has a lot of other things other than just the Java IDE stuff. So yes, let's talk about Java. Let's talk about the fact that Java comes out every 6 months. And like Lars was saying about Eclipse moving to releasing every 3 months, we have had a release cadence of doing 3 releases a year for about the last 2 or 3 years, something like that, since we moved to subscriptions. And this is kind of, this helps us stay up to date with the Java every 6 months thing. So every new release has features for a new version of Java. It's kind of a little bit misaligned because we have 3 releases a year and Java has 2 releases a year, but it mostly works out. So I want to talk a little bit about IntelliJ IDEA support for the latest versions of Java because that's the fun bit. That's what I usually do in my job anyway. So let's talk a bit about Java 12. What did Java 12 have? It had the preview of switch expressions. Let's see if I can, is this going to work? Oh, look, so normally I do live demos, but given the limited amount of time, I thought actually record it. I can pretend to type if you like, I'm totally doing this. So, you know, IntelliJ IDEA allows you to automatically turn your code into switch expressions, which is a nice thing, because switch statements were really awful. So it has a bunch of suggestions for turning things into switch expressions, and it does things like allow you to manage your switch expressions by saying things like it allows you to add branches for missing stuff. And so as you know, if you use IntelliJ, you know, you don't type code, just get IntelliJ to generate the stuff for you. It will do things like allow you to merge duplicate branches and allow you to delete things like the default if you don't need it. So, you know, all the support comes in. Some of this was here already for switch statements, but it's all here for switch expressions as well. So Java 13, what did Java 13 have? Switch expressions, preview, again. Preview features, I think, are really cool and interesting because the language developers are able to put a new preview feature into Java and say, here, have a play with this, let us know what you think, don't put it into production, and then give us feedback on how it works. So this is what happened with switch expressions. The Java 12 version had a particular syntax. Java 13 version, they changed the keyword for when you're breaking from a switch expression. So instead of using break, use yield, I think. Preview expressions allow the language developers to actually make changes to the syntax so that it can become more useful for us as developers. So this is kind of great for the language. It's interesting for IDE developers because, you know, every new version of Java, we have to go, oh, switch expressions are in an entirely different format now, so we have to support a slightly different version of the preview feature. The policy in IntelliJ IDEA is we support the preview features for the most recent version of Java. So as you know, the editor gives you hints, which is not necessarily the same as the compiler. So you can compile it against, you can write a Java 12 preview feature bit of syntax, compile it, and it'll be fine. But the editor will say this is not correct because we always check against the most recent version. We can't keep supporting every single version of the preview features for every single release because it just gets unmaintainable. So the policy is we will only support the latest version of a preview feature, which is related as well to something that Lars said about it's difficult to support EA versions of Java and difficult to support some of the early access stuff because there is the legality thing. There is the legal thing of saying, like, you shouldn't be using this stuff in production, you shouldn't be using early access stuff, or use at your own risk and stuff. So when you're using a early access version of Java in IntelliJ IDEA, you do have to tick a little box saying, you know, this is early access and features will change and so on. So Java 13, we got switch expressions again, we got text blocks, which is also a preview feature. This is one of those features that changed a few times. It used to be called multi-line strings, didn't it? So IntelliJ IDEA obviously allows you to convert normal string literals into text blocks, and also, which is fine for HTML. It's better for things like JavaScript, where you've got a bunch of escaped stuff, so it just looks a little bit prettier. Obviously, you can change it to and from, so you can figure out which... The whole point is to figure out what's most readable in your code. So if you paste from one into a string literal, it will automatically do all the right things. And then if you can turn that back to a string literal if you want to. So you can just use IntelliJ to play with the new features, figure out what works for you, what's more readable, what's not readable, and go with that. This person doing the typing is taking a long time. So that is text blocks. Java 14 had switch expressions. But this time, Java 14, where are we? Java 14 is coming out in March, right? So Java 14 will have the real version of switch expressions, not a preview feature. It will have the next version of the preview feature of text blocks. It will have records, which is a preview feature. I was playing with that this week, and I was very pleased with it. Records is this an animated thing? Oh, no, it's just... So records is the ability to write what in Kotlin would be a data class, and this kind of supported in a bunch of the other JVM languages, but allows you to just basically declare a small data class, if you like, with this sort of syntax, and it will automatically have your getters, your toString, your equals, and your hash code. So as you can see, I'm using this inside IntelliJ IDEA. I'm not getting weird warnings about this syntax, and I can test it the way that I expect it to work. So this is available in IntelliJ IDEA 2020.1 EAP, which is just out. As it's an early access EAP, it's a little bit... I'm not going to live demo it because it was doing weird things on my computer. But yeah, you can play with Java 14 features in 2020.1 EAP if you want to. What else do we have? Java 14 will have pattern matching as a preview feature, which I don't think I've... Oh, yes, I have got a demo of. So pattern matching will allow you, instead of having to do instance of and then do a cast, which is kind of ugly and a bit nasty, IntelliJ IDEA will say, well, actually, you can use the new pattern syntax if you want, and obviously magically do it for you, which is nice. I mean, one of the things I really like about IntelliJ IDEA is that I don't have to think, and it will just apply all the new Java syntax to my code magically if I want it to. Yes, I am that lazy. So preview features are fun. It allows us to play with API changes well ahead of them being like baked in stone. Don't put them in your production code, please, because the preview features do change from release to release. They definitely do. And if you are going to use preview features, then we do pop up in IntelliJ IDEA. We do say, like, be aware that the preview features are, you know, they're a moving target. And that's kind of how we decide to deal with this moving target. Right, so that's Java releases, Java features. Oh, so this is a new feature. I know that all the other IDEs have already done this. But now, from inside IntelliJ IDEA, you can actually download the JDK from inside the IDE. So instead of doing the complicated thing of going off somewhere else, downloading whichever JDK you want, and then telling IntelliJ IDEA where it is, it's kind of fine for experienced developers like this. We kind of understand how that works. But for new developers, it was always like, why do I have to download Java from somewhere else and then configure the IDE? Isn't IntelliJ using a JDK anyway? And so we've kind of simplified a lot of that. So now it will automatically download, well, it will ask you if you want to download a JDK if you want to. It will also identify places on your system where you've got JDKs installed if you want to use one of those. So it just makes it a little bit easier to get started in Java programming.
So, do you need a JDK installed to run IntelliJ, or is it bundled?
No, so it's a good question. Thank you for asking that. IntelliJ IDEA runs off the JetBrains runtime, which is a non-TCK compliant version of OpenJDK. So it's an OpenJDK build with some extra stuff, specifically usually like Swing stuff, to run IntelliJ IDEA. So you could use the JetBrains runtime to run your code if you want to, but obviously you're probably going to want to use adopt OpenJDK or an Oracle release or something like that. So now you can download the JDK, you can add a new one, or it will detect them in your machine if you've got it. So other changes that happened in the 2019 releases, so we had 2019.1, 2, and 3, we had performance and quality. I wish I'd had some charts like you had. You had some nice charts which proved that the performance is better. We had a performance and quality marathon for 2019.3, which is the release that came out in November, whereby, in theory, developers kind of stopped what they were doing in terms of like new features and just really focused on the most upvoted bugs, focused on looking at the performance and really improving the performance. I believe some of that was also helped by, in 2019.3, which I'll talk about in a minute, we also moved to using Java 11 for running IntelliJ. So, and Java 11 does have performance improvements over Java 8, so that's good. So performance and quality, much better, obviously. Refactoring improvements. We made some changes to the way things like extract variable, extract method, things like that work. We kind of trying to make things a little bit more, just easier to use, more inline. I'm not going to demo all of that. Data flow improvements. Data flow is when that you get that little yellow warning inside IntelliJ which says this can never be null, or these options are not viable, or whatever. And you're like, how does IntelliJ know that? And can I trust what it says? We did a bunch of data flow improvements around things like mathematical operations and other things like that. So the IDE is even smarter about saying you don't need to do these checks here because this value is never like that. Yes. Usability improvements. We're always, like you were saying about the Eclipse, we're always trying to make sure that the icons make more sense. And that. So it wasn't last year, the year before, I think we changed all the icons to be a slightly different, like not drop shadow, and everyone hated it. They're like, oh, where are the old icons? But the point is to try and make things easier to see, easier to find. Usability is a difficult thing to get right. Better Maven and Gradle support, primarily because obviously people always moan about Maven and Gradle support because it can be kind of difficult. One of the things inside IntelliJ is that the Maven support is not the same as the Gradle support, and that kind of throws people who know one or the other. We're moving towards making them more have the same more feature parity between the two, more sort of shared stuff under the covers, so they work the same sort of way. And one of the things which is coming, I think it's coming in the next version, is the dependency diagram for Gradle, which was not available. It was only available for Maven. So we've been working on this. We've also simplified the import process. When you're importing a Maven or Gradle project, that's much faster. There are fewer boxes to tick on the import process. We just make a lot of assumptions and just say, let's just get on with it, import the project, and you can change it later if you need to. Version control improvements. We're always doing stuff around specifically Git, but version control in general. Easier to create branches, easier, again, around the UI in the version control box at the bottom. We're also trying to make some improvements around how we display GitHub pull requests, managing pull requests through the IDE, that sort of thing. This is an area where I feel very passionately because I really hate using the command line for version control, and I love that IntelliJ IDEA will actually give me some visual hints on how it works. I would really like to. I'm going to try and do some tutorials on this next year about how it works in IntelliJ. Yes?
I just want to call out that Magic Merge is awesome because it can do subline diffs and do them correctly.
Good. Okay. Yes, sorry, I was just went off on one about like, oh, I wonder how I can do, yes. I'm gonna power straight on. We have the Java profiler, we have Java profile inside the IDE. It's not, I haven't played with it myself. It's not fully featured, but you can hook into things like Flight Recorder, Mission Control, and other profilers, display the information. We are currently working on some blog posts and screencasts showing people how to do this stuff, but it's a bit challenging because what we wanted to do is actually show profiling like a real application and the value of a profiler, and so then you have to find the right kind of application to profile, and I think we might just demo, here are the features, here, have a look. We added MongoDB support at the end of last year, which is kind of interesting for me. Last time I was at FOSDEM, I was working for MongoDB, so that was kind of fun. So we have some very basic MongoDB support inside the IDE. So IntelliJ IDEA has support for databases, allows you to do code completion for things like SQL inside your Java anyway, and we're trying to roll out some of those types of changes for NoSQL databases, specifically in this case, MongoDB. So the JetBrains runtime is now at Java 11. That's great. It took a little while to get all the stuff that we'd done on Java 8 to get it onto Java 11 and get Java 11 working for us for running the IDE longer than expected. There was like a whole list of fixes. So this is great. It means we can now use Java 11 and all the performance improvements with that, all the feature improvements. One of the reasons why the Java 8 support inside IntelliJ IDEA was so good was because we JetBrains developers used Java 8 to create IntelliJ IDEA. So it was easy to come up with new features to help people develop in Java 8. Since we've been stuck on Java 8 until last year, it was less easy to find places to add support for later versions of the language because we weren't using later versions of the language. So this is a good thing for everyone, really. We added the ability to have custom themes inside the IDE, so it's not just a case of having like light, dark, high contrast. You can create your own themes, you can download other people's themes. That's fine, you know, if that's the sort of thing that you want. But me, I'm just like, I just use the light theme, and that's just the way it goes. We created an open source font, which is the JetBrains Mono font. You know what fonts are like, people like love them or hate them. And the thing I love about Mono, I've only been using it for like a week. It's crazy. I love this little italic F. It's just so cute. I love it so much. So when you put assert fail and you've got this little F, I don't know, just really cute. But it's free and open source, and it means that now I can use the same font on my Mac and on my Surface, my Windows machine, so that the IDE, the code looks the same in both, and it's cute. Plans for 2020. Oh my goodness, this is not working. Oops. Yes, estimates are hard. Don't believe anything we say. We have put a roadmap up there. We have got a roadmap for 2020. We have a bunch of things we intend to work on, but you know, sometimes things take longer than you expect. Sometimes you kind of work on something, go, oh, that's not really great, and people don't like it. So I'm going to talk about the things we plan to work on this year, but don't make purchasing decisions based on what I say here. It's free, so it doesn't matter. Performance. We want to carry on working towards performance, and performance, of course, means a bunch of things, but it means things like startup time, like you mentioned. VS Code is pushing the traditional IDEs a little bit in terms of lots of people just want an IDE that just starts. So we're working a lot on startup performance and performance when it's running, memory use, that kind of thing. Cloud, more cloud support. We obviously need cloud because everyone's doing cloud these days. So things, the ability to run and debug stuff that's hosted elsewhere, like AWS, etc. I don't know anything about cloud, so I'm just not going to talk about that. Machine learning, because everyone's doing machine learning. So we already use machine learning for some stuff. I don't really know enough about how that works. I know that we're working on using machine learning to improve the code completion suggestions. So I think that's, we were doing that last year. It didn't give very good suggestions, so we stopped doing it. We're going to carry on working in this area. I think what you'll probably find is you'll probably see the machine learning in the EAPs, the early access ones, and probably not so much in the actual releases because it's a bit, it's very interesting. Collaborative editing, one of the oldest open issues in the IntelliJ issue thing is the ability to basically remote pair program. So we've always wanted to be able to do this. We are not able to do this. And for me, as someone who is a remote worker, I find it very frustrating that I can't just have someone pop in to like my IDE while I show them what I'm doing. So we are working on this, something along the lines of having like if I'm coding in my full IntelliJ, someone can use some sort of lightweight IntelliJ to connect and have a look at what's going on, take over the mouse, do typing, do remote pairing, that kind of thing. So that's on the cards. That is definitely, yeah?
On that front, do you consider that using a remote server for collaborative editing? For example, I'm a remote guy working on my own LAN, and people from other offices, they can't just connect to my place.
Yeah. It's everything's on the table. But we definitely, there are lots of different reasons why that sort of thing is important. And certainly having a remote server is an interesting thing to think about. It's not coming in 2020.1. I've run out of time, so I'm going to go through these really quickly. Localization, particularly for Asian markets, as in we will have the IDE have like Chinese menu items and stuff like that. So we're working on Chinese, Japanese, and Korean, I think, at the moment. Redesign project model. I've been disconnected. What happened? All right, I'm out of here. This is the ability to be able to do things. Again, a lot of pressure from other IDEs. The IntelliJ way is not the same as the Eclipse, where you work on your project, and your project is one project. We're redesigning the project model to allow us to do things like open an individual file for editing, to allow us to open different types of projects inside the same IDE frame. So that's in progress. Again, using IDEs as a... Why? This is driving me crazy. A general purpose editor, again, I think that's a bit of pressure from VS Code. Onboarding environment setup, things like being able to download the IDE. How do we get started as fast as possible? Downloading Git, for example, just taking care of all of that for new beginners. Refactoring auto detection. IntelliJ has a bunch of features, and a lot of them are not discoverable. So what we really want to do is be able to show people, like, you could do this now, instead of them having to refactor or press the magic keyboard shortcut. So we're going to work on that. There's a thing called Code Vision in Rider, which is the .NET IDE, which is going to come to IntelliJ. It gives you, like, it annotates your code with, like, the last person to edit this is used in this place. So I think that's kind of interesting. More version control improvements, dynamic plugins, so you don't have to restart the IDE when you change a plugin. Better docs and samples for plugin developers. Right, okay. So, call to action. We want to hear from you if you are an open source contributor, like how can we make your lives easier? If you're a plugin developer, how can we make your lives easier? A user or potential user, I want to hear like what your pain points are, how we can help. And yes. So all the resources from this talk are available at this IDE, including the slides, but also videos to the specific features I talked about and blog posts about the things like the roadmap and stuff like that. It's all available from here. I have no time for questions. Thank you very much.